Well, let's get into a time of word this morning. I really believe God had a word that some ways jumps off from last week. Last week, we talked about servanthood and being servants. And one thing that I felt to mention in that, the sermon about, the message about servanthood, was that it's an honor. It's an honor. Now, we've heard that in different contexts. For instance, you've probably heard it in the context that it's an honor to serve in, like, the military. Like, you've probably heard it in that context. It's an honor to serve your country. It's an honor to, in different contexts, in different ways. Maybe you've had a chance to hang out with somebody who was pretty up there, or it was pretty nice to be able to hang out or shake hands or get to hang out a little bit with somebody who was just considered kind of in the higher ups, so to speak. Maybe that was an honor. Maybe it was an honor to go to dinner or have dinner with somebody who had a name to themselves. We talked about that. But we come back to the idea of honor, and that's what I'm coming to today, is, and what we talked about last week was, it's an honor to serve the King. It's an honor. We're called servants. And even the word doulos even refers to this idea of slave, but one that's chosen. One that is chosen, given unto the Lord, ourselves fully unto the Lord. We're all called to be servants to God. And it's important because when we see that, when we see it as honor to do so, we realize, just like we were kind of sharing a story, Jim was sharing a story this morning about Bahamas or Barbados?
Grand Cayman.
Grand Cayman. Okay, one of those islands. That they were talking about just what was it like to prepare for the Queen. Of course, that's one of those British colonies, right? To prepare for the Queen. And they went all out. And he was there, and he was like, they were dressed to the nines. They were just cut and dry, beautifully white linens pressed. Everything was just so well done and so neat. And I think you asked and said, well, yes, we prepared for the Queen because everything was so wonderfully, beautifully done and just to the nth degree. And say, like, awesome. Well, you know, and the question was like, when is the Queen coming? And it says, oh, well, she came 5 years ago. So you see their service, their excellence, as they put forth excellence to be, you know, fully dressed and clean and cut and the servants that they were called to be, they didn't stop after the Queen left. They kept that level of service to the Queen as if she could walk through the door anytime. I wonder if we have that mindset as servants unto the Lord, that the Lord could walk through those doors at any moment, at any given moment, he could come back. He could come right through those doors. That's not the time to get ready. That's not the time. And this is not even in my notes, but we think about those who are waiting on the bridegroom. Those who were in the wedding, the brides that were waiting, they were waiting, they were waiting, they were waiting, and had their oil lamps were filled, but yet there was those who weren't ready, their oil ran out. The Lord really is saying, keep your oil lamp full. Keep your oil lamp full. Keep that passion for Jesus alive. Be in the ready state to receive the groom. That's what we're called to do as a bride. So we're going to talk about honor this morning. And I want to say this. Honor in the kingdom of God is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's something that we don't always think about. I know, at least I can speak for myself, it's not something that I'm always thinking about. Because if I'm thinking sometimes in the context of this world, I don't see it. But when I really look and I start thinking about honor, I think God had me look more at this. The more I look at the scriptures, I'm like, Lord, it is all throughout the scriptures. I mean, there's honor and dishonor in the scriptures. But we have so many examples of what it is to honor throughout the scriptures. There's no way I can cover this morning fully unless you give me about 5 hours. Was that a thumbs up back there? I think I saw a thumbs up. Okay. But there's so much about honor that it really takes some time. Study it in the scriptures. There's so much. The word, there's a few words that we can look at that speak about honor. We look at the scriptures, it's used, in some translations, it's translated honor over 200 times. So there's so much in honor. And then even when it's not there, we see how people treat each other in the Bible. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not good. And we see sometimes the results of how that plays out. Well, the kingdom idea of honor goes well beyond our earthly understanding of honor. Now let me ask you this. When was the last time you felt honored? Maybe you can think back. When was the last time you felt really honored? My guess is that we all have different experiences here that we can share, and we should. We should share those times of when we were honored with each other. But I'm sure that whatever those experiences were, those were not moments that were just simple flattery, right? It probably just wasn't just simple flattery. It wasn't just somebody just being nice just to be nice, right? That wasn't because you felt that. You kind of know. You feel and you experience sincerity. You experience when something's coming from the heart, when something's truly been done for you and even thought about and expressed. It is kind of like something, I was thinking about the idea of dating, but sometimes some people are spontaneity. They want something spontaneous. They want something spontaneous and just that's directly from the heart, like a love letter that's just written out like poetry. But sometimes it's the thing that's been thought about and planned and put together and given time to have something special. So it can be both and. And we see that sometimes we don't even realize is that God plans honor years in the making. Sometimes we don't realize that. God plans honor years in the making. Well, when we look at honor, we understand it's a time where we felt highly valued and seen by others. Thank you for honoring my daughter this morning. That was unexpected. And she's a little shy, so sometimes that's, a little bit, but I know she appreciated it. I know she loves that because she knows that she was honored. And what a blessing. And I thank the congregation because if that's something that you think about and do, there's blessings that come back when we think about ways of honoring others. So we think about the times where our efforts, our service, our life had value in the eyes of others. And people shared that with us. People showed us that. People did something for us that we realize that the things that we've given, the things that we've done, where we've served, how we've given our lives, it means something. It means something to somebody. And so they give us value. The Greek word for honor is timeo, and it's a command form, to give honor. It means to give worth or value to something. To give worth or value to something. And we see it all throughout the Bible. Honor is a significant value that is expressed in how we relate. How we relate with God, how God relates to us, how we relate to each other. Honor is in the midst of that. Jesus says to us that that honor is powerful. It's very powerful. It makes a way to receive from others. In Jesus' case, and we're going to look at a scripture in Mark 6, dishonor cuts people out from receiving. It cuts people off from receiving. Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth preaching in the synagogue. Now, you probably already know this scripture well, of what happens when he's in his hometown, right? And sometimes you may have strong affections for your hometown. You might have been the king and queen of your hometown. I don't know. But Jesus faced some issues there. It says, when Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home." So he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Now, we'll say this, when it uses the word amazed, it's not one of those good amazing things, like, wow, so wonderful, so awesome. But more like amazed in an incredulous way. Like, really? I can't believe that. But that was their response. They took offense. The people in Nazareth, his hometown, the little small town, so everybody knew everybody. Everybody knew everybody. Of course, it was one of those small towns like that. They saw him grow up. But, you know, just because they saw him grow up, why would they take offense? Why? But somehow, they still saw Jesus as the little boy. The little boy growing up. The little boy who maybe threw rocks into the Sea of Galilee. The little boy who maybe ran down the lane and maybe tripped and fell or accidentally got in somebody's way as they walked down the pathway, as he skittered around them. Or they saw the carpenter who made simple things with his hands and put together cutting beams and doing things that just were very, very ordinary. Nothing special, nothing, certainly not of a great prophet. So they still saw him that way. And they knew the brothers and the sisters and the family. They knew about their issues. They knew about their warts. They knew about all that stuff. There was nothing special about Mary and Joseph. They were simple people, simple family. Nothing extraordinary at all. And somehow they had become so familiar with him, his family, that they could not see beyond the common. They could not see beyond just the everyday. But due to their offense and lack of faith, Jesus could not do any miracles. And it does say, he says he could not, not that he would not. So Jesus didn't get offended and said, well, you know, I'm just not gonna do anything here. Right? He didn't walk away with disdain. He said he could not. So somehow there is a mystery here. There's a mystery working that sometimes I don't think we fully understand. I don't fully understand. Even as I prepare this, I had to pray, Lord God, help me to understand more fully the mystery that's going on with how honor is displayed and given and the idea of opening the door to receive what God you want to give. There's somewhat of a mystery here. But where there was no honor, there was no flow of miracles. That God could not, Jesus could not, in that place do what he had been doing in other villages and other places where they didn't know him as a carpenter boy, a son of in a very common place, in a place like Nazareth, of course. Nothing special. So there's something powerful about honor. You know, our relationship with God needs to have honor. It needs to be part of our relationship with God. What we do, how we show it, what, you know, even in our worship that honors God, how we give ourselves to him. You see, if we lack honor and reverence for God, we might actually find ourselves wondering why we don't receive much from him. That happens. That happens to Christians. But yeah, and they don't know why. But sometimes this is one aspect that's missing from their lives. This is something that God is teaching me, and I think he wants everybody to know what it is to honor the Lord. Honor is a language that's understood in heaven. It's a language that we use. How we approach God and how we approach others is very important. We need to ask ourselves and God, is there anything in our life that's not honorable? Is there anything in our life that dishonors him? Is there anything in our life that dishonors others? with the way we've spoken, the things that we've done, how we have treated people, even some of our attitudes. We have to ask, say, Lord, don't let there be anything that's dishonoring in my life. That I would not dishonor others, I would not dishonor you, that I would have a change of heart and a change of mindset. It's also true that honors builds our faith and opens the door for the workings of God. So when we start thinking in this way, and certain cultures are more this way than others, okay? And sometimes we can see it in culture, and sometimes it can go too far, it can be a little bit extreme. But we look at certain cultures and the way they honor people. Like, for instance, we could talk about family. We can say certain Eastern cultures, the way they honor their parents is just the highest level. And that the elderly in the room are given the most honor. And we don't really see that in our culture. Our culture really doesn't do that very much. And sometimes I think our culture has actually been slipping, it's getting worse and worse and worse about going the way of dishonor and forgetting how to honor others and other people. But honor opens the door. We honor that which we value. That which we value. And sometimes, again, it goes back to a cultural thing. Sometimes our culture teaches us to honor certain things that are not very valuable in the eyes of God, but to dishonor some things that are actually very precious in the eyes of God. And sometimes that's just simply people. People, other people that God wants us to honor and be a blessing to. Honor is very important in the kingdom of God. Very important. We can think about this sometimes in a monetary way. We can think about it in a monetary way as far as giving value. Now, I don't know about you if you're into memorabilia, if you're into history, but some people pay a lot of money for things, for items, for memorabilia, for things of the past. In fact, how much money would you pay for a famous baseball bat? A famous baseball bat. How much money would you pay? Well, it depends if you like the sport, right? If you don't like baseball, then you're like, I don't care. There's no money in my pocket for that. Maybe I'll chip in a dollar to your fund if you need it. But if you don't love baseball, you're not going to spend any money. And if you don't love baseball history, and it really fascinates you, the giants of the game, that doesn't excite you, then again, you're probably not paid too much money to spend there. But in 2004, you know who Babe Ruth is, right? Hopefully. Kind of an iconic figure. But the bat that Babe Ruth hit, the first home run at Yankee Stadium, of course, probably the most revered, I don't know, you say in baseball terms, stadium in America, in all of baseball. Babe Ruth hit his first home run. That bat was back in 1923 when he hit the home run. That bat fetched $1.265 million in 2004. Somebody valued that bat. Somebody valued that bat a whole lot and esteemed great honor. And of course, it wasn't just one person. I mean, there's a culture, right? There's a culture that people, whether it's baseball bats or cards or other memorabilia or coins or what have you, that there's generally this group that flocks around certain elements that give great value to certain things. You may have your thing that you give more value to than other things. But it's amazing sometimes how we'll esteem value on something. And of course, for whatever reason, there's reasons behind that. But honor is about placing value, even a very high value on things. We place value on what we honor, and specifically what we honor in our hearts. God is a God of honor, and that's what we are looking at today. God's a God of honor. He puts great honor, above all, on us. On us. He places a great value on his servants. John 12:26 says, "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servants also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." So we see that honor really originates in heaven. It originates with him. You know, he honors us, and we are to honor him and to honor each other. The Lord knows his servants, and he knows their heart. He knows whose heart will honor them and whose heart doesn't. I mean, he speaks of the Pharisees, right? He speaks of the Pharisees. Jesus speaks of the Pharisees in his time, and he says, "Their lips give me honor, but their heart is far from me." Because he knows their heart. So it's not good enough just to say lip service, is what we say, to give lip service to something, but to truly do it from the heart. Because that's true honor. True honor comes from the heart. And the Lord knows his servants who serve from the heart. Luke 14:7-11, Jesus speaks about a feast, a dinner, where we're invited to. It says, "When Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seats of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you're invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, 'Give this person your seat.' Then you'll be embarrassed, and you'll have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then, when your host sees you, he'll come and say, 'Friend, we have a better place for you.' Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." I think the parable is very clear. They were all called to be servants. But there were some servants like the Pharisees who loved the seats of honor. They loved it. They loved to wear the royal robes. They loved to put on honor. They liked to just dress in it, to sit at the tables and to be lauded, and for people to sing their praises and to clap them. That's what they got up for in the morning. That's what they wanted. That's what their heart was after. But it was a very self-centered, selfish thing they sought. But God says, no, don't be like that. Be the servant who humbles yourself and comes to the dinner table, not taking the greatest place of honor, but take the lowest. Serve at the lowest place. And then leave it to the Lord, because the Lord is a God of honor. Leave it to him to pick you out before all the guests and say, "Stand up, please. You're not in your rightful place. Could you please come higher? Could you please come up? Could you please come to a place of higher honor? For you deserve, and oh, to give you honor in front of everyone." That's the Lord. That's God's heart's desire, is to honor his children, to honor them in front of others. And you know that word here is not, actually it's doxa, the word that's translated honor, and it has a meaning of to give brilliance, to give radiance to. It even has the idea of a type of glorification, like Jesus on the mount being transfigured, glowing and radiating. It's not something we do for ourselves. We can't do that for ourselves. And when we try to do that for ourselves, we end up going down the wrong road, right? But it's something that the Father wants to do for us, to point us out and say, oh, that's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. And just to put this radiance on us, to show us off as his servants. And it even says he reserves places in heaven. The Father does reserve places in heaven for those who serve, who even go to the lowest places to serve. So he calls for us to be humble servants. not to exalt ourselves, but to leave that to Him. Leave that to Him. God sees the servant's heart, and He gives great honor to these servants. Now, we know God's a God of honor. He calls us to honor Him, and He calls us also to honor each other, to honor others. This serves God, and it serves others. It does both. You know, when Scripture says to bless the poor, to feed the poor, to do things for the poor, Scripture is very clear that we're not only serving the poor, but we're serving God. When it says to bless the widows, those in need that cannot do for themselves, and of course, we understand the context in Scripture that the widow and the fatherless were some of the most destitute people in the Bible. But when we are to serve them, we actually are serving God. The Bible says when we serve the least of these, we're actually serving Him. We're giving honor to God by the blessings we give to those who are destitute in need of. We don't exalt people in the sense of doxa. No, we don't do that, the Greek word. But we do give honor, timeo. We give honor, we give value to people. And that's important. We give value to people. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all people. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Or some translations, honor the emperor. Because the emperor was the one who ruled over the Roman kingdom and the world at the time. Romans 12, 9 through 10 says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor is something we give. We give. It's a gift. It's a blessing to give honor. And you know what? It's not necessarily deserved. We can give honor even when it's not necessarily deserved. I mean, I think it's probably all of us would agree. It's wonderful when it is deserved. Then it's just, it's easy, right? It's easy to give honor where honor is deserved, where people who have served wonderfully and greatly, and we can see the wonderful attributes of people. We can say, oh, Lord, yes, it's a delight of our hearts to go honor these people who serve diligently, who love wonderfully, who have great character traits. Oh, yes, Lord, what a delight to honor. But I think it says honor all people. Honor even people that we might find not so honorable. You see, it's a gift. It's a gift we give, and sometimes it's not even a deserved gift, but it's something that we can do for others. We do it out of what we have and the value that God has for people. Sometimes that's where it goes back to. God's a God who honors. How can God love somebody who really in this world is a terrible person, who's done terrible things? How can God love that person? But yet, God might call us to wash the feet of a criminal or somebody who really doesn't deserve at all. But again, what we think sometimes in our understanding is not God's understanding. So we need to take time and think about honor. We need to stop and think about honor and how we honor people. And that sometimes we can honor somebody just because they're a creation of God. Even if that's it, just a creation of God, and that God loves them. Now, I learned, I think years ago, I started picking up more on this idea of honor. And the Lord's had to bring it back several times because He keeps showing me, it's like, honor is really important. It's really significant. And I realized, because like, God, I don't think this is just natural to me. It's just not natural to me. But I praise God for those people it is more natural to. And people who seem to flow in this way. Maybe people like Bill Johnson. If you want to know more about honor, Bill Johnson seems to just flow naturally, like the love of God in him. It's just been a part of his life that he's understood for many, many years. If you want to know about honor, I look at people like one of my teachers in seminary was somebody who, Dr. Don Joy. Dr. Don Joy, he's passed on now, but many, many years of teaching, and boy, did he really express how we're created in this image of God, this Trinitarian image of God that was impressed upon us. Whether we believe in Jesus or not, it's been impressed upon us. And how we approach people with this idea that, you know, God has created this person, the person even down in the dumps who seems to can't even get up and walk on their own 2 feet. I think about people who've taught me about honor and say, wow, what godly men, what godly women that I have seen that have gone before me that have shown me something about honor, because I'll be honest, I need that. I need people to show me what honor looks like, because I don't think I just naturally understood or came into that, or it just hasn't been natural to me necessarily. I think of our pastor in Mississippi, Eric and I, where we met and got married. Well, it was so important that for the Reeves, I say both David and Teresa Reeves, they were pastors of this church here in Lafayette County. Not a huge church, not a big church. Oxford, Mississippi is not a big town. But this church was so unique. This church, without question, was the most diversified church that embraced different nations. It was actually called Oasis Church of All Nations. That was intentional. Because in that region, and I don't know, maybe you see this also throughout America, but I know in that region, churches were generally white or black. It was very down, cut and dry. You might have an exception of one person here or an exception of one person there, but it was a white church or a black church. That's just how Mississippi was. But Pastor David had it in his heart that that was not the kingdom of God. That was not the will of God. And that there in Mississippi, he took hold of even Martin Luther King's words that he spoke about little children coming together, black, white, yellow, every color under the sun coming together and being one and being seen not for the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And that that people could come together in Christ, unified in the Lord. So he fought against that spirit of racism. When he started, they got that church going. That was crucial. That was key number one, to say that spirit's not coming into this church. So he preached against it. He spoke against it, about racism. And he spoke about unity in the spirit, unity among people. So that church was a unique church, because there were different ethnicities. There were people from Indonesia. There were people from Ghana. There were people that were going to that school that they found a place and a home there that they might not have found otherwise. And I know, and I speak this, and I honor them for the work that they did to create and mold that church. Because I know that Eric and I had a place to grow our friendship, to grow our relationship. Because the Lord both brought us to that church almost unbeknownst to each other. We had met, but then we saw, hey, you knew about the church. I was like, oh, yeah, I knew about the church. And we showed up one Sunday. I think it was like Thanksgiving Sunday. So I give thanks to the Lord. But it was a place that we could grow in our relationship. Because I'll be honest, we went to some other churches and we weren't well received. There were people, there were individuals who did. But there was other people who said, we don't like that here. There were people who told me, even in my campus ministry, well, I don't like that. I said, well, and? You know, as I was like, is that for me or is that for you? That you need to consider that. That you need to work on that. Because I don't think that's the Lord, brother. But because of their work and their heart, we had a place where we were celebrated, not tolerated. And do you know, when we went to our wedding day, they helped us prepare. And of course, we had to keep our numbers limited. We couldn't have the whole church come. So they came out and said, hey, I know what. We'll hold a special banquet for you, for your honor. So that anybody in the church and everybody could come. You know what honor is when you've been given honor. It's a blessing. And I'm telling you, our marriage was blessed. He helped officiate our wedding. Actually, we asked him to do the prayer over us, That was when we knelt and did the prayer. And you go, I won't go into that. I mean, some people didn't know who he was, and we explained that and said, well, this is the church that the Lord has led us to. And it wasn't a Methodist church, by the way, and I was Methodist, but that's neither here nor there. It's just what it was, where the Lord had led us. But God gave us a place where we were celebrated, and that was a blessing to us. And there was other blessings along the way. They helped us because her parents could not come to the wedding. They couldn't get visas. They were denied to come to the wedding here. And so we're like, what to do? And I talked to him about it, and he said, if it were me, I would go there. Have a service here, have a service there. And that hit me. It's like, wow, that's right. I just felt the Lord in that. And I said, we're going to do that. That's what we're going to do. And you know, they helped us raise money for tickets. They said, because they wanted her family to be blessed, to have a wedding with all her family. It's amazing what sometimes honor looks like. And that was our wedding gift. That was one of our wedding gifts from the church. And we praise God for it. So I honor Pastor David and Teresa Reeves today for being just wonderful people of God. Well, when we talk about honor, I do believe honor is something that needs to be felt. And it's something we can do for others. Whether it's in church, whether it's in school, whether it's family, whether it's in work. Sometimes we are in environments that are not always very honoring. But it's important that we can bring honor to a place. You know, feeling honor is more than just being accepted or tolerated, as I said. It is being celebrated. It's that we have a place to belong. We have a place to belong. We have value. We're given value in a setting. We have significance. And I know some of you, even in your workplace, you have those opportunities to bless people. You have opportunities to give value to people. You may be a student. I have students. I teach adult education. And it's gotten me to really to think more about this. I mean, I always want to treat people well, you know, treat people with a smile, you know, approach them like they're important. Treat them like they're important. And that your time, absolutely, you giving them your time and your effort, encouraging them. But all the more, it's just hit me. It's like how I treat people, words I can speak to people, things that I can do for people to show them that they have value. So whether you're a teacher or whether you know you may have a business or you have students or you have different ways in your workplace or places that you go to, even hobbies that you do with other people, that you can give value to people. You know, you can give value to the checkout lady at Walmart. You can do that. Because I'm telling you, there's been times that I've had to catch myself, because sometimes when you're not getting good service at the restaurant, you're not getting good service somewhere, you want to just get irritated. But sometimes it's like, Lord, I want to stop, because I know sometimes I'm thinking like a consumer and I'm not getting good service. Well, we say praise God for Chick-fil-A, but sometimes it's not always great service, right? But you know, you go there and so you get great service, and it's like, ah, praise the Lord. But it's not always that way, right? So there's times where we say, Lord, help me to give value to people. It's easy to say, thank you very much. Of course, I say Chick-fil-A because every time you say thank you, they say, it was my pleasure. I think that's right. I'm trying to think of the exact words, like, it's my pleasure. They're trained in their training to say that and to think that and to try to act like that, that's the way they should give service. And in some ways, it needs to be our pleasure to go out and serve people and bless people, even if it's the lady at the Walmart counter, you know, she's not having a good day, having a bad day. Like, literally, you're at the counter saying, I can't wait to get out of here. Like, literally, it's coming out of her mouth, I can't wait to get out of here, you know, as she's just getting your stuff and putting it in the bag. It's like, but, you know, sometimes it's stopping to say, you know what, you're a hard worker. You know, you're doing the best you can do. You know, keep going. You know, it's going to be better. Like, try to give an encouraging word. You don't want to just, what's the word? You don't want to just puff somebody up or just give somebody, you know, words that just are not sincere in any which way. But to do something to show value, I mean, what a wonderful thing is to go to a little child and just ask the question, do you know that Jesus loves you? I don't know if you know that, but he does. I mean, it could be so simple. It could be to somebody that you just meet in the day that they're having a tough day and say, you know, God loves you. God sees you. And he even sees what you're going through. There are things we can do to give value to people. And sometimes it's like, Lord, we ask, God, help me. Help me with ways that I can give value to people in my day, in my family, in our relationships, the relationships that you're in. We want to give significance to others. And the way we speak about others is huge, because we can speak things into people. Now, people don't have to receive it. I mean, that's their free will. They don't have to receive it. But you can bless people and build people up. You can stir people up to help them see themselves in ways that they don't. Or they're having struggles seeing themselves in a positive light, in a positive way. But if we could find something positive to really speak to somebody, to speak over somebody, we can help add value to them and to bless them. The Bible says, bless those who curse you. That's not easy to do. To get a curse or words of ugliness, slander, you know, cutting us down, and then to try to return back upon them blessings. I know one pastor said, and these are pastors that are on TV. I think one pastor, I forget, I want to say one of them was Benny Hinn. I just can't remember the other one. So it was one was saying to the other, they heard on TV that something was not nice said about their ministry. And so that minister knew in his heart what to do was like, okay. He called the florist, got the biggest bouquet, and had it sent to the pastor and to the church. I said, I love you, brother. God bless you. It happened a few times, and I think what happened was, when it happened, whatever, it was the third or fourth time, the pastor stopped and said, oh no, what did I say now? What did I do now? Because he knew that the response was love from something that had come across very negative. But sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes we need to send flowers to people. And not because it was anything that they did, but just to say, God loves you. Honor is important. It's a way for us to be salt and light in the earth, to make a difference. I mean, think of the culture we live in. We live in a cancel culture. If you say something I don't like, cancel. You're gone. You're off my Facebook. And not only that, I'm gonna say this, that, and the other about you and just put it out there. I mean, it's gotten so just large, it's just crazy that people get insulted or upset about one thing and it's no more. You're out of my life. So we need to bring something, a culture that's radically different than cancel culture. Radically different. It's an honor culture that we're to grow in and to give away, to be intentionally giving value to others. So I don't know what the Lord would put on your heart and how you would do that, but wherever you go, with family, friends, as you go out into the world, your workplace, how to sow honor. It's a working of the heart. And to plant it, to plant honor, like a seed that will grow and return back a harvest. Blessings. It's never guaranteed again. It's never guaranteed. People do have their free will. People don't have to receive or accept. Yet when people learn about honor, as they experience honor, and that will be the way probably that they really understand honor, because they experience it, they have a chance to grow. A chance to grow. I mean, what plant can grow without sunshine? Without water? You know, what child is going to excel if they're being told, you're no good, you can't amount to anything, we know not. It's like, no, it's like, we sometimes have to see things in people before they see it. We have to see things in people that sometimes they just don't believe. But we honor them and we bless them, whether it's a child, whether whoever it may be in our lives. God's challenging me to do this, to live more day in, day out in this way. Not just special times and special moments, but to live more fully in this way and to bring something wherever I go that's the light of Christ and the goodness of God. So we sung about it this morning, and to know that you carry it with you wherever you go.